This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Here it is, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Nice to have you along. It's hour two of our program. If you're just tuning in, you have missed very little sports, and so we will get to sports right now on The Fan.
Sports.
What?
And it is that George Pickens has been traded?
Yes.
To the Dallas Cowboys.
Sounds like they've been working on this for a while, and the Cowboys were balking at the price, and then they met the quota, and away you go.
Quota was a third.
Third. And so I guess they were offering a fourth originally. So they've been doing this before the draft. And it sounds like this did not come, the reports are, this did not come from management. It did not come from the Pittsburgh GM. This came from Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin wanted Pickens out. They set the price on it. Dallas balked at it. And then the draft, they didn't address the need for a receiver. Figured they could get this done. They upped the price, matched what Pittsburgh wanted. And now Pickens is on his way to Dallas, where presumably they'll wait too long and then sign him to a bad extension. Although, I suppose if you did let him go on a one-year rental, you'd get a comp pick that would roughly be about the same. But most of the time you do these deals, it's to sign a player.
I mean, I think it's a good move for both teams. I mean, the Steelers, obviously Tomlin hates.
They're just done with him.
Pickens a pain in the ass.
Yes.
And, of course, he fits perfectly in Dallas.
Someone said he heard about smiles and glory holes and was like, what? Let's go.
Well,
we talked about this. The DK Metcalf and Pickens are kind of the same player, except DK Metcalf is much better and more expensive. And
smiles and glory holes.
And this was like the whole Aaron Rodgers thing. To me, that thing in Pittsburgh, you can't have two kind of one-dimensional receivers that don't want to run routes and don't want to do anything else and are both volatile and yell and bitch and cry a lot. That's a disaster.
Wait, who's the other one?
DK Metcalf.
Oh.
So when they traded for DK Metcalf, I sat there and was like, dude, are you really going to line these two guys up? I kept waiting for Avecchi on the sidelines when they just started beating the hell out of each other. And apparently Mike Tomlin had the same idea and was like, no, dude.
Yeah, that's too volatile.
We got DK Pickens
but, you know,
gone.
Going to Dallas, it's a good move for Dallas because they needed another receiver.
Yes.
And Pickens is good.
Yeah.
He's just a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But I just, like, who doesn't see what's about to happen?
Oh.
Because CeeDee Lamb is kind of a prima donna type mm-hmm. receiver.
Yep.
And Pickens is going to pick up on that. And it's Dallas. And they always have this where it's just they don't have a strong enough culture to handle guys like this. And it gets sideways. And, like, this will be bad, right?
I mean,
because Pickens is a goober.
One would think, I mean, look, he's DK, or excuse me, not DK. George Pickens has never played with a real quarterback. He is going to get a real quarterback in Dak.
But I just think CeeDee Lamb is like a key guy to keep him in line. And that's like the wrong guy.
It's the wrong guy. But the problem is that in a place like Pittsburgh, you would think that Tomlin, like when Mike Tomlin is done with you, that generally means something. And I know like Antonio Brown, I guess technically won a Super Bowl, but look, whether it's Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown or anyone that they kind of move on from, Mike Tomlin is one of the great culture builders in the NFL. And to me, when Mike Tomlin is wiping his hands of like a 24-year-old really talented guy, who, by the way, this happened at Georgia. It's why he fell in the draft. It's been his entire time in Pittsburgh.
He's a bonehead.
And the idea that he's going to go to Dallas and somehow put it together.
Especially because... like a guy like that has to go to a place where the culture is strong.
Yes.
I.e. Pittsburgh. And yet Pittsburgh dumps him.
Yeah.
Dallas is like the anti-culture.
I'll say this. Everyone today is bloviating over this Pickens deal. And what have I said a million times over? We spend so much time talking about number two receivers. Number two receivers, guys like Pickens. Did you see, by the way, Gabe Davis just got released by Jacksonville today?
Yeah.
Again, a prime example. When he left Buffalo, we're like, oh, I can't believe, what's Buffalo going to do? They'll be fine. Pickens gives you about 55 catches a year and 3 touchdowns. But we're going to sit there and be like, well, he catches deep balls. Cool. He again, he's a one-trick pony. That's what he does. So is there a role for him? Sure. But I just don't think that all the talk, so many of the talking heads on ESPN are like, well, Dallas now. I mean, this makes Dallas a contender, and they have the most balanced offense in the league. And look, dude, George Pickens does not tilt the scales.
We do this every year with Dallas.
Every single, and we do it with players like this all the time. I say it a million times over, in free agency or in trades. When you have a problematic guy that the one team looks at and goes, dude, just get out of here. And we're not really, I mean, this is essentially... what Pittsburgh got in return isn't much different than what they would have gotten by playing this year and then letting him walk in free agency and getting a comp pick for him. So the fact that Pittsburgh, who, by the way, doesn't really have weapons outside of DK Metcalf, looked at this and was like, dude, we're not doing this year. It should tell you something.
It's addition by subtraction.
It's addition by subtraction.
And it might open a spot for Alan Lazard if they get... because remember, they're still trying to get Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
And, of course, Rodgers and Lazard are
Or you plug in someone. I mean, there's a lot of veteran receivers that are less talented that will give you relatively the same production. This is not 100 catches and 9 touchdowns and some gravitational player. He'd be a guy that you put on the other side of CeeDee Lamb, and Pickens will run go routes, and you'll throw the ball up to him, and he'll make some catches for you, but he's also going to be a problem. He's also going to have hamstring issues, and he's going to bitch and moan and freak out on the sidelines. You're not going to be able to count on him to be in the right place at the right time. And then you take a guy that maybe is turnover prone in Dak Prescott. I'm not saying this is a bad move for Dallas. I get it. You needed a receiver. You didn't draft one. And now you go get Pickens, and you've got the best option you had probably since, you know, Cooper was there in Dallas to go with CeeDee Lamb. So I get why Dallas did it. And I'm not saying this is an utter disaster, but God, we are making way too much of this. If Pickens really was a difference maker, I promise you, Pittsburgh wouldn't just be like, what, third round pick? Cool. Here, take him. And now the question becomes, what does Dallas pay him? Because I'll tell you what, if Dallas pays him a bunch of money, this will be one where he will be released a la Gabe Davis a year after he signs a big contract. So hopefully Dallas is just using this as a rental. And I will say this for Dallas, if you ever going to get George Pickens, because remember, he wasn't a first round pick. If you're ever going to get George Pickens on his best behavior, it's going to be this year. You see it all the time. Contract year, the guy's never made a bunch of money. If there's anything that can pull his head out of his ass and make him care and actually try, it should be the prospect of getting a big contract. He goes to Dallas and has 75 catches and 8 touchdowns. That man puts his foot in the cash register at probably about 18 a year, 17 a year somewhere. And if he can't do that, then it's never going to happen. So I get the risk for Dallas. It makes sense. But we have got to stop this. All of a sudden, they're contenders. Dude, they're in the same division with Philadelphia, who has the best roster in the NFL, coming off. What did they win last year?
Who, Philly?
Yeah.
The Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, the Super Bowl. Arguably the best young team in football with this. Have you heard of this Daniels kid?
Yes.
And
Jaden Daniels.
And where were they last year?
They were in the conference finals.
Conference finals.
Yeah.
So, and then the Giants stink. So, I mean,
but they gave up 55 points.
Dallas in their own division is clearly third. And any talk that George Pickens elevates them above that is silly.
Yeah, but I think you're falling into the trap again. They get you all the time, the national talking heads, who are going to go crazy about the Lakers, they're going to go crazy about LeBron, and they're going to go crazy about the Cowboys.
Yeah.
This is what they do. They're going to try to, because that's, it's ratings.
Yeah.
They love it. You got to stop falling for this.
Because
no one's really saying that other than them. Everybody else, like in the normal sports world, yeah, we all know that this, get why they did it.
Yeah.
Okay, nice try.
Sure.
It may work, but we all deep down know that it probably won't and it will implode.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, next.
I do think if you're Pittsburgh, it was wise to get DK Metcalf and George Pickens away from each other. Although I wanted, in an ideal world,
maybe they'd be buddies.
I wanted Pickens, Metcalf, and Rodgers.
Yeah.
Because Aaron Rodgers, just his only thing, he demands receivers to run precise routes. It's the Aaron Rodgers offense. You beware. That's why he wants his guys, right? And I would have loved old-ass Aaron Rodgers coming into Pittsburgh and having the two receivers that under no circumstances will be where you need them to be. DK and Pickens both play the Ocho Cinco game of, I'm just going to kind of do my own thing and then throw me the ball when I'm open and I'll make an amazing play. Remember when Ocho Cinco went to New England and everyone was like, man, Ocho Cinco with Tom Brady, and then he couldn't get on the field? Why? Because he couldn't run an offense. For all those years, he was so talented, he just ran himself open, and that's DK, and that's Pickens.
Not to beat a dead horse, but when you Google George Pickens, the first thing that pops up is George Pickens a good receiver? And the second thing that pops up are, what are George Pickens' strengths as a wide receiver?
Yeah.
Well, he's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, he's uber talented.
Deep guy?
Uber
good
talented.
Deep threat?
Yes.
Big?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, he's got what you want in a receiver, but yeah, you know, so does DK. I think
that was the thing. So yeah, they chose to pay DK, and they weren't going to pay Pickens.
I get it. All right. So the Steelers, when we return, Steelers have an uncanny ability to do one thing. We will get to that. And is it impressive if I could do it? Next on The Fan.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
So we're discussing the George Pickens trade to Dallas. Dallas gives up a third.
Yeah.
And then they swap like a sixth and a fifth or something.
Yeah.
But mainly a third for George Pickens. And they needed a second receiver in Dallas. So,
yeah.
And him Pittsburgh, and CD.
And Pittsburgh wasn't going to pay Pickens. And so, you know, here you go. Now we'll see. I'm assuming Dallas is trading for him with the intent of signing him.
Warren Sharp had this, and I liked it because it does ring true. And he was talking about how the Steelers have an uncanny ability to punt on receivers right at the right time.
Yeah.
And he listed several examples.
Yeah, I can think of like Bryant and AB. And
so Antonio Brown, when he left Pittsburgh, he ended up starting 7 games over the next 3 seasons. And I would argue that they held on to him for maybe a little too long.
Yeah.
But he was awful good.
Well, he was arguably the best receiver in football for a 3-4 year stretch.
But it got bad there at the
yes.
end. Tomlin did the same thing he did with
it's like went to management and
Perkins.
Give management credit. When Tomlin says, hey, we need to get rid of a guy, they usually do.
He mentions Chase Claypool.
Oh, yeah.
Who, after Pittsburgh, started 5 games over 2.5 seasons, and he did not record a single stat last year.
Remember, Claypool at one point was viewed as a steal of the draft, and again, big physical receiver, and everyone liked him. He was kind of George Pickens before George Pickens.
He looked good.
Yeah.
I remember his rookie year. I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
But.
Thanks for coming.
Then he lists Deontay Johnson.
Oh, yeah. That thing's been an utter disaster.
After Pittsburgh, he played his way through 3 teams just in 2024 alone.
Yeah. He was the one where, remember, that was that weird situation in Baltimore where he refused to go in the game? I think the Panthers couldn't even keep him.
Then he mentions Juju Smith-Schuster, who after Pittsburgh has played on 3 teams in 3 years. And he's not bad.
No.
But. And then he also mentioned Martavius Bryant.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Who, after Pittsburgh, was out of the NFL in a season.
Yeah.
It's a great point. Like, the Steelers just have a history of knowing when to pull the plug on really talented receivers. It's unbelievable.
Right. Everyone that was jocking this Pickens deal for Dallas, just when Mike Tomlin is done with you, should just be a big, giant red warning flag. And the fact that he's going to Dallas, I can't wait.
It's just the perfect fit.
It is the perfect fit. We are robbed of the Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf, George Pickens experience, but this should be fun. The Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jones, George Pickens saga will be. Wait till like CeeDee Lamb has like a 14 catch game and Pickens gets thrown to twice, and one of them is an underthrow because Dak can't get it there, and Pickens loses his S and refuses to go into the game. Because it will happen. And they'll win, by the way. And yet Pickens will still cause a massive problem.
Think Brian Schottenheimer... Do you think he kind of looked like the Alonzo Mourning meme when they made that trade? He's like sitting there. He's like, oh, this is terrible. And then you kind of go, well, he's got some talent.
I just love the fact that the steady hand of Mike Tomlin couldn't handle it, but Brian Schottenheimer.
Exactly. That's why the Cowboys are so stupid.
Brian Schottenheimer is going to handle it. The culture builder that is.
Well, they already have I wouldn't call CeeDee Lamb this level of problem.
No.
But CeeDee Lamb, he's kind of like this.
It's not the easiest guy to deal with in the world. A lot of receivers are like this.
Yeah, I know they are.
But CeeDee Lamb's actually really good, so you put up with it.
He is, but he can disappear at the biggest moments. He's soft at times. Come on, man. That's the problem. The Cowboys don't understand that culture can make or break a player.
Yeah.
And that's what Mike Tomlin knows. Yep. And he knows it well, which is why he punted on every single one of those guys. And the Cowboys, fine. We're the Cowboys.
Hey,
we'll be great.
Chase Daniel and Dan Orlovsky and everyone else say that this is now one of the most balanced offenses in the NFL with the addition of George Pickens. His 3 touchdowns coming your way.
And that would be why I don't listen to those guys.
We'll see. Hey, 2 years ago, Dallas won, 13 games? So
I bet you they're pretty good this year. If Schottenheimer,
and that's the thing.
We don't really know.
No.
But the players really seem to like him. So if he gives them a shot in the arm, they have some dudes, man.
Yeah.
Their defense has a lot of guys, and they got a quarterback couple receivers. They don't have a running back.
No, and then they're trying to rebuild your offensive line. So, we'll
see that offensive lineman they drafted. All you draft nerds keep Tyler telling me Booker. How great that guy is.
He's supposed to be a big old mauler. So,
and they've actually been pretty good at drafting.
They've
offensive
done a nice
linemen.
Job of drafting offensive linemen. So, I mean. Give Dallas credit. It's the one thing I'll say about Dallas.
They're not awful.
No, for all the crap we give Dallas.
It's just Jerry.
Well, and they can't get out of their own way at times. Like I said, they always wait to pay people and end up having to pay them more anyways. And I think sometimes their roster construction is a little short-sighted. But in the draft, they have done a nice job. I mean, almost all of their talent tends to be homegrown. They've done a very nice job of drafting several Hall of Fame offensive linemen. CeeDee Lamb was a guy that they brought in. They found Dak like in the fourth round. They've been very productive. And on the defensive side of the ball, they've done a nice job drafting people. So it's not a talent evaluation. It's just an overall roster construction. And they haven't really been willing to play in the deep end of the financial waters like Philadelphia.
Well, isn't it money? It's like, I feel like Jerry is the problem because he just does it, like they need a really good smart cap guy.
Yes,
and it doesn't seem they have that. It just seems like they just go on Jerry's whims.
The good teams in the NFL are ones that are always thinking 2 years down the road. The Baltimores and the Philadelphias, San Francisco's got a little bit of this, and they're always thinking ahead. And you can manipulate the salary cap 1,000 different ways. You just have to be willing to spend money. You have to be willing to give people money and extend it out and kind of keep kicking the can down the road. And Dallas doesn't do it. Dallas, for some reason, ends up playing hardball with the guys and then signing them anyways and then not being able to free up space. And then free agency comes around. They're like, well, we don't have any money to go
do
anything.
That's just the way Jerry does it.
Yeah, it's really a piss poor way of doing it, which is why Dallas has put together some good teams, but I don't think Dallas has ever really put together a roster that's one of the five best in the NFL. Because in order to do that, you kind of got to be willing to go all in. And it's funny because by all accounts, Jerry Jones wants to win more than anything, and the guy's got a gajillion dollars. It just, I think he has a hard time turning it over to someone like a Howie Roseman and letting him go.
All right, last story here, and then we have to move on to in the news. But is it impressive if I could do it?
Oh. Yeah, I think you can do some stuff. You have a couple hole-in-ones.
I do.
I don't have a hole-in-one. I'm impressed by that.
This happened last night. Mm. And I think I could do this.
Yeah, the fact that you think you can do it.
Well, you tell me if I could do this.
This makes me skeptical already.
Cubs reliever Ryan Presley is the 15th pitcher in Major League Baseball history to face at least 8 batters and record 0 outs in a game.
Oh, yeah, you could do that.
Could I do that?
Yeah, 100%.
So is that impressive? If I could do it?
Well, the difference is, though, he's a major league pitcher. You would think that at some point, you know what? I'll bet you, if you got up there, because you pitched old man baseball.
Oh, hell yeah.
You're telling me that at some point someone doesn't ground into one?
Well, I think that's...
Someone doesn't fly out?
I think that's kind of the point.
Could you do it? Yes.
Would I?
I don't know.
You think I'd get somebody out?
Well, they put in position players all the time, and they just go up there and throw, 60-mile-an-hour lobbers.
It's not auto-hit. You still have to, there's just, I don't know. People think it's like...
I feel like if you get 8 batters, I think you get
I'm
an
not
out.
Getting anybody out.
I think you get an out.
Got a major league defense?
Yes. Maybe. It's not me out there playing shortstop, for God's sake.
Why not? I want you out there.
You don't want me out there.
I want you on that wall.
No.
I would need you on that wall.
Right field, maybe. I can catch for you because you're just lobbing him in there.
His stat line was 0.0 innings, 9 runs.
What does that do to the old ERA?
Well, it went from 2-something to 7-something, they said. 15 times. That's it in baseball history.
I'd like to believe that you can get it over the plate, and I'm trusting the defense. What do they say? Put the ball in play. Let your defense make a play. Someone's grounding into something or... They see you out there, and everyone's swinging from their shoes, and that's going to lead to a pop-up.
I'm going to walk the first 3,
yeah,
which is all part of my plan.
I like it.
And then I'm going to turn a triple play.
Then you only have 5. You got 5 batters. You're better off just not walking people because you only got 8 batters to get an out.
Yeah, but I just need to force out at every base.
I don't like that strategy.
Oh.
I think we can eat all the bites at the apple we can get. I think you go up there and you just throw cheese over the plate and wait for someone to pop out. I think that's the key. And by the way, duck.
Would I throw him my fastball, try to sneak a fastball by him, or just all off speed?
All off speed.
Yeah.
Look, just throw the lobber.
I learned that lesson the hard way. Even in old man baseball, it's like, okay. Some hitters, yeah, they like my fastball.
You know what, though? Because your fastball is tipping, what, maybe 62, 63?
Upper 60s.
Upper 60s?
Yeah.
Even today?
Oh, I don't know about today.
So I'm saying.
That was 10 years ago.
I'm thinking maybe it's 59 to 62. They may have a hard time adjusting to your heat. They're not used to seeing 62.
I need to talk to Shohei before I go out there.
See how this goes?
Get some pitch ideas.
I would also recommend, again, every time you throw the ball, just duck. Because there could be one coming.
Yeah, I would hate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you just throw, and then, like, have you ever seen the softball guy that throws and then just starts backing up? And then you're like an extra fielder at that point. Just back up, and now you're playing.
I'm wearing a helmet.
Hey, someone did that.
I'm not kidding.
Did you see that?
No.
Hernandez did. Kiki?
Yeah, Kiki Hernandez got put in to pitch, and he wore the safety helmet.
Hey, I don't blame him, dude. I ain't taking one off the dome.
No.
Not this brain.
No. Well, like when I would play, every now and then I would play old man softball with my buddy who takes it really seriously. And he always played in a competitive division. And I refuse to pitch. I will not. I will not pitch slow pitch softball. Because I've seen one too many of those where some old dude who's had like six Coors Lights takes one right in between the eyeballs. Uh-uh. Not happening.
All right. Well, congrats to Ryan Presley.
Yeah.
He's amazing. Doing things even I would do out there. I mean, how do you even do that? He gave up 9 runs and did not record an out.
I think when they come out to get him, they give him a good job and slap him on the fanny?
No, I think it's a death stare. That's one of those where the pitcher's pissed that he's not out of there yet, and they leave him out there because they're pissed that he's sucking, and it's a standoff. You've seen this before, where the pitcher's like, dude, I don't have it. Get me the hell out of the game. Now, they would never say that or show that, but that's what they're thinking. And then the manager's like, no, F you. You started this mess. Stay out there.
Patrick Waugh, who's one of the great goalies of all time, had this where he had given up like 5 or 6 goals, and the coach wouldn't pull him. And when eventually they did, Waugh like lost it on him. Like they almost came to blows. Like he trashed the locker room. He absolutely lost it because he was like, same thing. He's like, I don't have it. And the coach was like, F you. You started it. You finish it.
Yeah. That happens. I guarantee that's what happened. Because
yeah.
Otherwise, why not just pull him?
Yeah, because you're just, you know.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Yes, you're embarrassing him. And I think they're sending him that message.
Yeah. Well, the message.
And he still never got an out. Usually it's like, okay, I've given up 9. I got to get an out here. Yeah. Nope.
Got to buckle down on this one.
He forced the manager to take him out without recording an out.
Well, maybe those last couple were on purpose.
Amazing.
Maybe he's like, hey, you know what? I'm not even, you thought I was not trying before. Watch this.
All right, in the news is coming up next. Who knifes a seal? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Here is Will. All right. This always puts us in a nice vibe.
I just think of that bro, Ocean Spray guy.
Yeah. On the skateboard?
Yeah, it's forever linked to me now, which is a shame because that's such a stupid thing and that's such a great song, but... I just think of that.
But it worked. It worked with the vibe.
Yeah, it worked with the vibe.
It's a SoCal vibe, bro.
Yeah, he's just skateboarding. But who drinks an entire thing of Ocean Spray?
Oh, that happens a lot more than you'd realize.
Really?
That's a young man skateboarder bro game.
Is it really?
But isn't 100%. There vodka in there?
Depends, yes. No. If it's a Friday or Saturday, yes.
Dare I say,
they pour out half of the Ocean Spray or drink half of it and then pour in
I think
half
that's
a
actually
vodka.
Better
well,
for you.
You're talking about a Borg. That's a kind of a different thing.
A Borg.
Yeah, so a Borg, instead of the Ocean Spray and half vodka, you buy like a gallon of water, and then you take like a packet of like a Kool-Aid type deal, you pour it in there, and then you pour the whole bottle of vodka in.
Mm. Oh, okay. A Borg.
You're combining two different things.
Learn something new every day.
How about that? That's why you come to this program.
don't drink it. Don't do it.
I won't.
You shouldn't.
Trust me.
I'm not doing it.
That sounded terrible.
Yeah, that's... Seems like a, no offense, but that seems like a very 20-year-old thing to do.
Oh, if I think I'm too old for it, you guys are too old for it.
I think an 8-year-old is too old for that.
Yeah.
But that's just
me. An 8-year-old should not drink alcohol.
It is May 7, 2025. It's time for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Hello. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's brought to you by the Advocates Injury Attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is the Great American Grump Out.
What is that? we've done this before.
We had that one before.
Yeah, you don't be grumpy. Or,
yes,
you
know, we want the grumps out.
Yeah. Don't be a red ass.
Yeah.
Don't be Craig Council.
Don't be Craig Council.
Lighten up, Francis.
There's also National Cosmopolitan Day.
Oi. You want to talk about a drink that's not on my radar?
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Would never order it in a million years.
I don't know if I've ever had one. I think I finished a couple. You know, someone's like the lady, it's like, hey, you need to finish this. I'm like, ah, it's all right. It just goes down.
You wouldn't have one at the Cosmo in Vegas?
I've been at the Cosmo in Vegas, and no. That's just, again, why would I ever? Just can't think of a reason.
It's not whimsical enough for you?
A Cosmo at the Cosmo? I suppose if you were ever going to have a Cosmopolitan, that would be...
In the Chandelier Bar? Come on, man.
Unless you're doing like a Sex and the City thing, or it's like a, you know, a Sex and the City theme, like, party?
I don't need to be whimsical. And I will tell you this. I don't think there's ever a scenario where I would order a Cosmo. Like, ever. Unless it was the only drink on the menu, it's all I could get. I'd order a beer before a Cosmo. Well, maybe not. Well,
really?
Well, I'm not a huge, you know, beer just doesn't agree with me. I mean, I like beer, it just doesn't agree with me, really, as I get old.
Yeah.
But
all right, well, I'm
Cosmo's
giving
you
a,
vodka.
You walk into a bar, I'm like, hey, man. Like,
all they have.
That's
is,
all we got. I can make you a Cosmo.
Yeah.
Or I got you like a hazy IPA.
Oh, hazy IPA. No, I'll have a Cosmo. Make it a double.
I think there's a certain place for a Cosmo, and if you're in the Cosmopolitan, it's fine. Elsewhere, you're probably getting made fun of.
I mean, a Cosmo, certain place, I would say maybe like a rooftop bar on a hot summer night. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Does that do anything for you?
Is it the glass that bothers you as much, too? It's like...
I don't mind that, because I don't mind a martini.
Yeah.
I just don't... It's too sweet. The Cosmo too sweet. And vodka, I mean, I don't know.
I hate the glass.
Not a huge vodka
Look,
guy.
You just drink in vodka cranberries like a 14-year-old girl. Like, right? I mean...
Except at least it's a martini style, so it's not a mixed drink.
No,
it's
but
like,
still, it's...
It's more vodka than it is cranberry.
just a touch, if you will.
Well, I've got a very sad story for you.
Right.
Although, it's not that sad because no one died here.
No.
But a baby elephant seal
was
repeatedly stabbed on an Oregon beach, and now federal officials are on the hunt for the gap-toothed lunatic behind the twisted attack.
What in the hell, man?
Yeah, weird.
Who decides to knife a baby seal?
The adorable pup, which miraculously survived, was viciously knifed multiple times in a beach cove in front of the Proposal Rock Condominiums in Neskowin between 8 p.m. and 11:30 p.m. on March 16th.
Yeah, and they described the dude, he's got a big gap in his teeth. Michael Strahan apparently stabbed that guy.
Have you seen the renderings of him? There's a sketch drawing.
There's a sketch? No, I just saw that. I read the description.
He looks terrifying. Look at that guy.
Oh, gosh.
How would you describe that man?
Well, he's smoking meth.
Is that Sasquatch?
That's the sketch.
Yeah. And apparently he has a car on his hat.
Yeah, what is...
And it doesn't show his gap tooth.
By the way... That can't be.
That's what witnesses. Yes,
there has to be a like. Normally, when you see the composite sketch, it actually looks like a cartoon drawing. It looks like something out of King of the Hill.
Well, they can only sketch what is described.
Where was this?
Neskowin.
Let me tell you what, Neskowin. Your police department needs a new sketch artist stat. This tells you, by the way, that they don't have many opportunities to sketch criminals.
That's
the worst sketch I've ever seen.
Well, they have to just go with what they're.
I understand, but that doesn't look like a real person. Look at nose on that thing.
Big nose.
He looks like a Muppet, for God's sakes. And what is that beard?
Well, like, that's a beard. He's,
that's not
I mean,
a beard.
How do you want him to draw a beard?
Dude, that's embarrassing.
Look at you.
I want a Portland sketch artist to look at that. I think if you showed that to a real sketch artist, they would look at that thing and be like, what in the hell? You know, like when you go to the... when you go to any sort of fair or whatever, and they got the person that'll draw the character of you, those guys are better than that. That's terrible. Do better, police department.
Well, they're saying that he was wearing thick-lensed aviator glasses, And I will say the glasses on the drawing are not aviators.
No!
Dark pants, a thin blue and light green fleece, low-profile black cap with a logo depicting an orange four-track excavator with the word timber on it.
Jeez. And he just decided to stab a seal multiple times.
Barbaric.
What the hell, man? What's the punishment when we get this?
I don't know. That's a good question. It says at least...
Stabbing seals.
They're saying... Okay, violators of the Federal Marine Mammal Protection Act, which prohibits harassing, harming, killing, or feeding wild elephant seals, face incarceration and up to $100,000 in fines.
And a year in jail. Good. Send his ass to jail for a year. What the hell are you doing? By the way, that seal pup is adorable. You decided to go randomly. And by the way, if you're stabbing a seal pup, it's not that much longer until you end up stabbing a big gal. You can't do it. I don't like that story. I don't like it one bit.
How about a story of an underground volcano that's about to blow?
Well, I'll take that. Where is it going to blow?
Well, it's going to blow. It's in the Northwest.
Mm.
It's getting ready to blow, but no one really cares because you won't feel it.
Oh, because it's underground?
It's the most active underwater volcano in the Pacific Northwest, and it is showing signs of an impending eruption.
Oh, no.
Potentially occurring before the end of 2025. It is located 300 miles off the Oregon coast and more than 5,000 feet below the Pacific Ocean surface. It last erupted in 2015. That's like, I mean, dude.
That's way out there. Are they going to have a police sketch of it that's going to look nothing like a volcano?
Maya Tolstoy, a marine geophysicist, says over two-thirds of the Earth's surface was formed by volcanic eruptions. Hold on, I got a pop-up. Got to X out.
Damn pop-ups.
At these mid-ocean ridges.
So
the volcano is formed by these really fundamental processes that shaped our planet.
Okay.
A professor in the University of School of Oceanography, William Wilcock, Big Bill Will.
Oh, yeah.
He described this as a genuine hotspot, noting its large caldera formed by the collapse of its magma chamber.
Ooh, good name, caldera.
And despite its remote location, the volcano's eruptions are closely monitored due to their potential to provide insights into geological and biological processes.
So if I was in my Daffy Duck life raft, just cruising around on top of that, would cool stuff happen when it erupted? Or there's going to be
Yeah,
wave?
I don't know. That's a good question. This says that it doesn't impact land or trigger earthquakes.
No.
But it does allow them the rare chance to monitor volcanic activity in real time.
That's kind of cool.
Which is very valuable.
I just wonder if you're up there and you're in your little rowboat and old man in the sea, maybe you're looking to stab a seal pup or two out on the open seas. Is this rocking the boat, or do I not even...
Wouldn't that be something? You're just out there fishing in your little fisherman boat.
whoops.
All of a sudden, there's
red hot magma.
Yeah, what would that even be like?
I guess it would be pretty...
Your
effing,
boat just starts be, melting.
Pretty effing scary is what it would be.
30-foot waves.
You can't think that that's a good thing. And I would assume if that was the case, do they put up buoys or something to give you hey, not a good time to paddle around here? I'm not familiar with underwater, geophysics. It's not my wheelhouse.
No way.
No.
Really? You fooled me.
I haven't studied that one. Occasionally, on a Saturday, I like to do a deep dive into undersea volcanoes. But.
Well, Jason, it's the end of an era, and we will get to that story.
The era has no longer become.
The era has foregone this. Foregoneth. I don't know. That's next on The Fan.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grede, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grede, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We were discussing underwater volcano eruptions. Someone mentioned look up the one from Tonga, 2022. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty wild. And it's not necessarily, well, I mean, it is underwater. But they said that it, like, there's video of it. Mm-hmm. And it's freaking cool. And they said that it basically displaced all the water around the, you know, obviously around the eruption site. But it sent a tsunami, like, all the way to Japan and New Zealand.
They're saying it affected Australia's weather.
Yeah.
So that's not this one.
No, we got. I said Tonga.
Yeah, no, I'm saying the one we've got is going to be the
main. Oh, no. Come on. No. Not as far as you know.
When I was a kid, I was in Alaska and Mount Spur blew, and it was kind of cool to watch.
Mount Splurb?
Spur. In fact, I don't
where's
know.
That?
It's outside of Anchorage. You can see it from Anchorage, and we could see it blow. And I want to say like a couple weeks ago, they were saying that it was going to erupt again. And I don't know if it ever did. But yeah, there was a, I saw an article in the national news and like, I don't know, Yahoo, whatever. Was saying that like residents were preparing, and yeah, it stranded me in Anchorage for like, I was supposed to go home back to school, and it stranded me for like 4 days because nothing could take off because of the ash cloud.
Mm. Well, Suk, the era has not become.
The era has become.
It's begone.
It's begoneth.
We hardly knew ye.
Alpenrose Dairy is being demolished.
Hey, I took a tour there.
Did you know that?
Yeah, when I was in school, I think we went to the Alpenrose Dairy.
Southwest Portland.
Yeah.
Iconic.
We milked a cow.
Little League games, holiday parades, community bike races. You know, cool stuff like that.
Again, cheesy fifth grade field trips.
A lot of emotions out there as they are making way for a new development. The once bustling Alpenrose Dairy is now a construction zone, marking the end of a rich history of family traditions and community engagement. J.C. Babes founded in 1916, the little mini western town they had out there. They had a 600-seat opera house, the velodrome, but
nothing.
Well, people started thinking it was kind of lame, and they never went out.
Again, back in the olden days, we didn't have a lot to do, so you know. You did stuff like that. Like, hey, kids, let's go to the dairy.
Well, and they had, I think the family was fighting for a while, and that scares people, and then there was a legal thing, and then they sold part of it. I don't know.
You know, when I look it up, it says that it's now the Smith Brothers Farm.
Yeah, I think that was part of the...
It's not even in the...
I think that was part of the fight. There was a big battle over it for the longest time.
Yeah, it was sold to the Smith Brothers, the Smith Brother Farms in 2022. So it's not even the Alpenrose family anymore.
And they plan to build 263 homes on the development site. All right.
Probably a little more money in that than...
I'm guessing so.
...an old dairy.
Because they're saying that a new development will help Portland's ongoing housing crisis.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be really affordable housing, too. Right? Because that's just what you do, is you buy a farm, then you put up 300 and something homes, then you keep them nice... You make it nice, affordable housing. Yeah, like 225, 230, nothing. Yeah.
What do you think the lowest price to get in there is for a house?
I'm guessing.
Probably under. Can you get under five?
No. I was going to say 550 to six, probably. Whenever you drive by those new developments, it's like homes starting in the low fives. And you're like, oh.
Starting.
So affordable. By the way, that's like if you
want to pay six, we'll put in toilets.
Exactly. Starting the five means like no driveway. You get like no toilet, but we'll like build you a closet. Maybe there'll be a quarter of a roof.
The concepts of a home.
Concepts of a home. I like it.
Don't look on Redfin. It just makes you sad.
Why? You mean like for homes for sale?
Yep.
I have concepts of a plan.
It happened a lot over the weekend. The brother and sister-in-law are starting to look into it.
Yeah.
And it made me sad when I was looking at what they were able to get.
Concepts of buying a home.
My kid and his fiance just bought a house in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And they got it for under
$500. Hey, way to go, Coop.
Now, I will tell you that they are currently in a rental because a pipe burst and flooded the home. So, like in their first week. I said, welcome to the joys of homeownership, son. Now buy me a drink.
It's always fun. Yeah, welcome to the Coove, Neat. It's the place to be.
Yeah, he's up there with you.
Nice.
He's way up there. He's up there by...
Isn't he a sputter? He's in Richfield?
Some school. No, it's in Vancouver. But I don't know the name of your neighborhoods over there. It's by a school. There's a bunch of stupid kids running
around. By a school. That could be a lot of different
Hudson's
places.
Hudson's Bay, Fort Vancouver.
Lots of little kids playing kickball and crap out there. It's like an elementary school or something. Yeah,
I don't know. Rob, master of Vancouver geography. I don't know. It's in Vancouver.
Well, I tell you, you want me to fail a quiz? Give me a Vancouver, Washington geography quiz. I know nothing.
Yeah.
Well, Mill Plain.
Yeah, you got Mill Plain.
Is that the same as 500, or are those two separate?
Those are different. Things, yes.
Okay. Mill Plain, 500. Do those run parallel, or do those run perpendicular?
You use Mill Plain to get onto 500, kind of.
They both run east and west.
So they run parallel.
Yes. Although 500 kind of bends around. And
yeah.
But for the most part, yes, they run.
And you have 164?
164th, which turns into 162nd.
Yeah, 164th is kind of a main one out there.
Yes.
And then if you go east of that.
Camas.
Well, you get to like 190-something.
192nd is the border of Vancouver and Camas.
And then you get into the rich people land.
Then you get into the rich people
land. They don't want you in there.
No.
What else do I know about Vancouver?
Dude, you're dialed in on the Coove, man. You got it. You know what's up.
14. I know 14.
Yeah, stay out of the alphabet neighborhoods and you'll be fine.
Why?
The alphabet neighborhoods are down by where Will lives.
I live in the alphabet neighborhood.
You don't want to live
there. What name?
A, B, C.
They just call it A neighborhood?
If you live on C Street,
it's not going well, man.
You don't want to live on
streets. Okay, so A, B, C, all the way to Z?
Yeah, you don't want to be in the alphabets.
Why?
I like to go for walks at night, kind of as the sun's setting. I think it's kind of nice after eating dinner. I don't walk in my neighborhood now. I drive away.
Really?
Yeah, you don't want to be in the alphabets, man.
I'm not scared of much.
It's bad news down there, dude. It's not good.
When you say down there, where exactly is that?
That's like, that's on the other side. That's
I-5.
By the mallish.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You don't want to be there.
I played Royal Oaks Country Club. Yeah. I know where that is.
You know what the weird part is?
That's my neighborhood.
Fairly close. Royal Oaks is like it's like an oasis.
Yep.
Remember when I talked about I saw the guy with the frothing wound and another man was using an Armor All car wipe to clean it?
Two blocks.
That's right by Will's.
he saw it at one light, the next light is Royal Oaks.
I tell you what, Royal Oaks is a wonderful club and golf course.
And you would never know it was there.
Why is it right there?
No one really knows. It's like,
so weird.
It's like the nicest thing in Vancouver, and it's in the worst possible neighborhood.
When I figured out where it was, my jaw dropped.
Royal Oaks?
It's too nice to be there.
It really is. It's one of the nicest courses.
So where do all the people live that belong there? All the Richies that...
Camas.
They all live out in Camas. So why don't they...
Maybe a couple in Hawkinson.
What's the golf club in Camas that you play?
Camas Meadows.
It's Camas Meadows, but it's not a golf club.
They
tried to take it private a couple years ago. Didn't.
Camas Meadows?
Yeah. It's a nice golf course.
No, I know. I played it. Yeah. I just thought there was a private club up there, and
no,
there isn't.
There's one in Washougal.
The people of Camas need a private club.
They all go to Royal
What's
Oaks.
What's private in Washougal?
Like 80% of Royal Oaks is Camas, and then you get like the Richfield and people in there. But, You don't, great golf course. You do not walk out of the Royal Oaks gate at night. Like, if you finish there on a Friday night, shutting it down, you don't go for a leisurely stroll out of Royal Oaks.
Really? No. See, it doesn't look that bad. It just looks very...
I'll take you on a tour sometime.
Come hang out with me.
Yeah.
I'll take you to the spot. It'll be great.
Can I bring my 8-iron?
Yeah.
You probably should.
If you get me into Royal Oaks, I'll take you all over Vancouver.
I love riding my bike through there. You never know what you're going to see, but I don't ride through there at night. That's more of a 11 in the morning sort of thing before the creatures have fully woken up. You just kind of you get them when it's early, when they're still sleepy.
Hey,
you don't want to get them in there because they're like nocturnal animals. You don't want to see them in their natural habitat, which is like midnight.
I just want to let you know, I was leaving my apartment complex and I found a car that people were clearly living in at 9 a.m. this morning.
Yeah.
With two police officers there asking them what's going on.
I mean, that could be anywhere in Portland.
That's right across the street from Royal Oaks.
Close that gate.
Oh, believe me, they do.
Lock that gate.
They do.
Turn on the electrocution fence.
And you can't see it from the road. You don't even know it's back there.
Think of the club?
No, it's like a Batcave. You can't see it from the road.
Well, I know. I've been there.
Yeah, it's all hidden. Yeah, and there's a reason why.
Well, you can kind of see the driving range a little bit. But, yeah, you can't see the...
It's like Fight Club.
Hey, this is why we blew out the Hot 5 at 5. We needed that right there. See, we didn't have to hurry to the Hot 5 at 5 so we could get in Hot Vancouver Alphabet Street Talk.
In my neighborhood.
What about downtown? I think downtown's pretty cool, right?
Downtown's having a comeback.
Yeah,
they're
expensive.
They're doing a good job. Waterfront.
The condos down there?
Are they expensive?
Yeah.
You
ain't getting in there for $500.
Really?
No.
Can I get in there for $505?
No. It's expensive.
$510.
They're spending a bunch of money to make downtown Vancouver like.
Portland. Like, why not make something affordable?
They're trying to make it like the Pearl. El Gaucho's coming in down there, and there's like 9 different wine bars and.
Fancy.
Yeah.
All right. That is your In the News for May 7, 2025. But for the advocates, injury attorneys at flow.com. Coming up next, where is Winnipeg? And is anyone cool from there? On The Fan.